الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أمراض القلوب واللسان كاملة. We're talking about the diseases of the hearts and the diseases of the tongue. Evil actions of the hearts or evil actions of the tongue. This is lecture number two. We'll be talking today about the first disease, which is called greed. الطمع. أول هذه الأمراض من أمراض القلوب نعالج فيها مرض الطمع. وقبل أن ندخل في هذا المرض نتكلم عن القلب السليم وما أدراك ما القلب السليم. سليم القلب من أفضل الناس. When you talk about a person with a serene heart, a person with a peaceful heart, this is our goal. This is what we are seeking. الهدف الأسمى أن نصل إلى مستوى القلب السليم. لماذا؟ لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى قال في شأن القلب السليم: يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أطى الله بقلب سليم. When you have a serene heart, when you have a clean heart, this is the highest level of the hearts. If you remember, we talked about it last time. This is when definitely you will be from the people of the Jannah. Nothing will benefit you except a heart that is free of shirk, free of arrogance, free of anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عن عبد الله بن عمرو يقول قال عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله عنه عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص قيل لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الناس أفضل؟ عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه he said it was asked to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best of the people? Question valid for everyone. You want to know who is the best, so what for? So you can be that. Questions a lot been asked to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like ayyul a'mali afdal, which are of the best of deeds, which are of the best of the manners. Questions so you can come up with it. Or one of the companions came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, show me an act in Islam that I hold fast to it and make it easy on me. Don't give me too much talk. Show me something good in Islam so I can hold fast to it. دلني على عمل أتشبت به في الإسلام. ولا تشدد عليه. Many of the questions of the companions for the purpose of getting to the Jannah. Look at the answer. Which of the best, or which is the best person among the people? قال كل مخموم القلب صدوق اللسان. مخموم القلب صدوق اللسان. طيب. I ask مخموم القلب. What is مخموم القلب? For those who are from Saudi, from Jordan, from Palestine, from what is Mahmoud? Gotta go look it up. That's why sometimes people they tell you, brother, we speak Arabic. We don't need Ibn Kathir. We don't need translators. We speak Arabic and the Quran is in the Arabic language. Only an ignorant person would tell you that. Yes, you speak Arabic and you can understand some of the Quran, but you can never understand all the Quran. Maybe that's why we have dictionaries about this big for people like us to refer to that to see what certain words in Arabic. We're not the first. Look here. قالوا أي صحابة صدوق اللسان نعرف فما مخموم القلب. So these are the companions, the best of the people, the most eloquent in the Arabic language. They said صدوق اللسان, a truthful person, we know that. But who is مخموم القلب? قال صلى الله عليه وسلم هو التقي النقي لا إثم فيه ولا بغي ولا غل ولا حسد. هل فهمنا شو معناه مخموم القلب? تقي نقي. Righteous person, pure heart. And then he defined the pure heart. In the same hadith, he said, La ithma fih, no sins in it. The brother might ask, well, I thought everybody sins. We say, yes, brother, but you say astaghfirullah. You don't wait 6 hours. This angel doesn't write anything unless 6 hours passes. Then he writes it. You say a bad word to your brother, the angel on your left shoulder wanted to write it. The one on the right shoulder tells him, hold it, brother. Not so fast. 6 hours you have to say astaghfirullah. What else? Let's say you forgot or you did not know. You didn't say it, he writes it. You still can say astaghfirullah and it will be erased. So your heart, even though you did sin, but it's free of sins because you repent. A heart that has no sins in it. وَلَا بَغْلِي, you don't transgress. You get your rights, but you don't get more than that. وَلَا غِلْ, no vice, no spitefulness. It's not like a smile in your face and deep inside I'm going to stab you. It's not in me. This is not مخبوم القلب. If you have some of that, you're not. ولا حسد, no envy. I don't care if you have a Rolls Royce and I'm driving a Volkswagen. By the way, these days Volkswagen is better than Rolls Royce. You know, limited editions. You know that you can't get those cars. They're coming back. I don't look at your car, I don't look at your house, I don't look at what you have and what I have. Alhamdulillah, I am not envying you in anything from this dunya. Of course, I can envy you from things from the hereafter. أمراض القلوب أيها الأحبة كما تكلمنا قلنا أن هناك أمراض كثيرة للقلوب وللسان ومن هذه الأمراض الشيطان وهو الأساس والغضب والنميمة والغيبة والحسد والتنافس وحب الشهرة والكبر والرياء والشرك والنفاق كل هذه من أمراض القلوب وكل هذه إن شاء الله سنعالج هذه الأمراض واحدة واحدة في الدروس القادمة لكن قبل أن نبدأ لنتعرف على صفات القلب المطمئن أو النفس المطمئنة. When we talk about the diseases of the hearts, we talked about it, we listed it. You have so many of them. Shaitan is the essence of all evil. Anger, swapping words, backbiting, envy, competition, showing off, looking to be better than other person, looking for prestige, for instance, arguments, not for seeking the truth, arrogance, hypocrisy, and such. Now, to free yourself, to free your heart, to clean your heart from all of those is what we are looking for, and that is the key to success. So before we talk about those, or any of those, let us talk about the qualities of a nafs al-mutmainna. Ya ayyatuha nafs al-mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyan. When we talk about nafs al-mutmainna, we love it. We want it to be from that. But ma hiya nafs al-mutmainna, ma hiya sifatuha? نتعرف على هذه الصفات. أولاً المداومة على ذكر الله. First quality of a serene heart, continuously remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what am I talking about? Everywhere you sit, you'll be subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, everywhere? No. Dhikrullah can be in tasbih, in tahleel, in prayer, in reciting Quran, in listening to a lecture, in enjoying good and forbidding evil, in taking care of your children, going eating with your children, playing with your children. All of those is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us limit the things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the masjid only or to reading Quran or something. No. Anything you do with the intention that you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anytime you are fulfilling a right that is due upon you, you're doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person with a serene heart cannot just go play. Let's go play some basketball, just like that. Let's have a volleyball competition, just like that. Not thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not thinking I'm doing it so I can unite the brothers, so I can make the brothers enjoy themselves, so I can show the brothers there are many other avenues in Islam to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, different than just praying and doing things like that. If I don't have that in my mind when I do any act, then naturally I'm not reaching that level because I am heedless, at least in that particular aspect or that particular function. طيب, you're talking about a person who's constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one deviates him away or nothing deviates him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us. Rather, he threatened us. عندما قال أخبرنا الله سبحانه وتعالى في على صيغة التهديد قل لو كان آباؤكم أو أبناؤكم أو إخوانكم أو أزواجكم أو عشيرتكم أو أموال اقترفتموها أو تجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم if your fathers, mothers, brothers, wives, trade, commerce, houses, anything that you have, more beloved to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His messenger, if I come and ask your brother, you love your business more than Allah, he goes, astaghfirullah. And I say, then how come you're staying there all day and you don't come to the masjid? Well, you know, brother, because, yes, brother, you love your business more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what love is. It's not, yes, I do, or no, I don't. It is something taking you from fulfilling an obligation. This is what love is. I love Allah, I fulfill the obligation. I don't fulfill the obligation because of something, then that thing is more beloved to me than Allah. Whether you say it or you don't say it, actions prove it. And this threat is directed for those people. And this is very clear because if you just simply ask a person, no one would tell you you love anything different than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, إذن your heart is with Allah. يَحْيَ الْقَلْبِ بِحُبِّ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَيَطْمَئِنْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَيَتَمَنَّى لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى Your heart is alive when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how good your heart feels. And your heart feels peace with Allah. And your heart loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Those who believe and their hearts feels tranquility when they hear the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know how sometimes you may be searching through the television or the radio or something and all of a sudden, you know, out of nowhere, you hear, you just run over a voice of recitation of Quran. Look how you feel and how quickly you reverse back to see what was that. Or sometimes you go to a doctor's office and you're sitting there and you got magazines left and right and you don't know what to do. And you just look there and you see a mushaf. How you feel is like you found, wow. You think, this is a sign of love. You're so much enjoying to see some of this religion present everywhere. Or you go to a hotel, you open that door all the time, you find a Bible, and all of a sudden you find a mushaf too. Now you can kick back and sit. Just, wallahi, if you don't speak Arabic, you're just looking at it, it's fun. Don't think so?
Yes.
Kids. They take the mushaf and they start humming, just mumbling because they see their parents doing that. They take it and they open it and they'll be so happy about it, taking it and holding it just like their fathers. This is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book. So this is a sign of a serene heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about people with mind to reflect and think about the creations of heavens and earth, look at the first quality. They think. Then they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, thinking is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at the status, how they remember. قِيَامًا, standing. قُعُودًا, sitting. عَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, leaning down. Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, in all situations, they are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةِ ويرجو رحمة ربه. Is the person who is heedless like the person who is standing in prayer at the end of the night, standing and bowing and prostrating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing the hereafter and hoping for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do people who know equal to people who don't know? Or are people who know equal to people who don't know? Can a scholar be equal to an ignorant person? Impossible. How can you equal that with that? Light is not equal to dark. Number two. So number one is they are constantly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Number two, salamatu sadr. Sahib al-qalb al-mutma'in salim al-sadr. ما في من الأمراض أمراض القلوب اللي تشغلوا عن ذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى. His heart is free of all the diseases that may take him and distract him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you think about that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies the prophets before he sent them. Musa alayhi salam, when he was commanded to go to Pharaoh, what did he say? Rabbi shahli sadri. شو شرح الصدر؟ الوصول إلى النفس المطمئنة، انشراح الصدر. إذا شرح صدر الإنسان يا حلال. If your heart انشرح يعني well opened for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His religion, it's open for anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have accomplished النفس المطمئنة. موسى عليه السلام, the first thing he said when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him, commanded him to go to Pharaoh, he said, oh Allah, expand my chest, open my heart, clean my heart from everything bad, so I can go and deliver the message. If you love someone so much, all the goodness is in it, and all the bad things that will stop you from delivering the message is not there, you're going to go with full force and deliver that message. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purified him before he sent him as a messenger. يقول نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سن الخامسة أنس بن مالك قال أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتاه جبريل عليه السلام وهو يلعب مع الإماء فأخذه فصرعه فشق عن قلبه فاستخرج منه علقة فقال هذا حظ الشيطان منك ثم غسله في طست من ماء من ذهب بماء زمزم ثم لأمه وأعاده في مكانه. أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه reporting the incident of جبريل عليه السلام when he came to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم when he was in the care of Amina bint Wahb, the suckling mother or the nursing mother. He was playing with the children. Angel Jibreel alayhi salam with some other angels came and he grabbed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wrestled him down, opened his heart, opened his chest, took his heart out, took a piece from his heart, and he said, this is the portion of the shaitan. Yani the shaitan that has put all of the evils and everything in there, he removed it. So shaitan cannot mess with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam no more. And then he put the heart back in his chest, sewed it, and let him go. First heart, open heart surgery in history. Done by Jibreel alayhi salam to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, age 5. In fact, in some of the narrations, it says that if you look closely, you can see the trace of where the chest was put together. SubhanAllah. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qadir to make it not existing, but this is to prove the incident. 5 years. Now the children with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that age, they ran to his mother screaming, Muhammad got killed, because they saw it with their eyes, what's going on. Somebody opened his heart. Muhammad got killed. His nursing mother came very frightened. And she saw Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pale. His face is like something really happened to him. She got so scared and she took him to send him back to his mother after that incident. Incident number two, before he was taken in a journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. before he ascended to the sky. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reports, يقول فرج عن سقف بيتي وأنا بمكة فنزل جبريل عليه السلام ففرج صدري ثم غسله بماء زمزم ثم جاء بطسط من ذهب ممتلئ حكمة وإيمانا فأفرغه في صدري ثم أطبقه ثم أخذ بيدي فعرج به. Here is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The roof of my house split open. Then, that was when I was in Mecca. Then Jibreel was in Mecca. Then Jibreel alayhi salam descends. He opened my chest and then he cleaned my heart with Zamzam water and he came up with like a bucket or some of that sort from gold, full of wisdom and faith. And then he poured it in my chest, meaning my heart. And then he closed it. Then he took me and we ascended, and he ascended to the sky with me. This is the second time. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember we said, At-tahalli qabla at-takhalli. You do the commanded things before you stay away from the prohibitions. You do the good things before you get rid of the bad things. Last time when we were talking about actions of the hearts, the good actions of the hearts. We finished that, and now we're talking about bad actions of the heart to get rid of it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his heart was cleaned, then he was received a message to deliver to people because he took all the evil things out of it, and at the same time he has the wisdom and the hikmah put in it by Jibreel alayhi salam. إذن القلب يا إخوان إن لم يكن مملوء بحب الله سبحانه وتعالى فهو مملوء بغيره ومن أهم ذلك الشيطان. So if you don't remember Allah سبحانه وتعالى, you don't have a serene heart, then your heart is full with the whispers of the shaitan and your whims and your desires. That's why Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, as reported by Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, قال أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن شر الشيطان وشركه. I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except you. I seek refuge in you from the evil, from my evil self, and from the evil of the shaitan and his shirk. Shirkih, يعني it could be the knots and the things that he does to either do magic to the person or deviate him away. Like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كما جاء عند البخاري يقول يعقد الشيطان على قافية رأس أحدكم ثلاثة عقد إذا نام. Shaitan, he comes to you when you go to sleep and he makes three knots at the back of your head. Don't you wonder why the back of your head, not the forward, the front of your head? Why the back of your head?
So you don't get up.
Yeah, but why the back?
I'm too shy.
Yeah. Because he has hair. Brother, bald head has nothing to do with it. Are you trying to say, oh, okay, listen to this guy. You say that's because he can tie the hair, right?
Yeah.
And there's no hair over there. No. He's got his own rope, brother. No. Your brain is here. Isn't it?
Yes.
This is where you can wake up or not wake up, from here. So he ties it here. And how do you get rid of those knots? If you wake up in the morning, you mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one knot is untied. If you make wudu, the second one untied. You pray, the third one is gone. فَيُصْبِحَ الرَّجُلْ نَشِيطَ النَّفْسِ طَيِّبْ وَإِلَّا خَبِيثَ النَّفْسِ كَسْلَانِ. If you do that, then you look like it's a beautiful morning. Alhamdulillah, you feel good. Otherwise, you feel tired, grouchy, I'm sure you've seen some of those people waking up in the morning, coming to work, you see them frowning. Like this morning, I was going, dropping my daughter to the college, and there was one brother, it's not in the street, it's just, you know, I'm making a turn there, and he was walking. I mean, this guy, literally, a baby step would be faster than him. I stopped the car and I was just looking. It's like you don't exist. No cars, nothing stopping. Did not even flinch. I was going, this can never be, a Muslim can never do that. A real Muslim can never do that. No, I was enjoying watching him. I was going, I'm just saying Alhamdulillah for the health. I mean, this guy, brothers, when you go to Fajr, and you see someone at 5 o'clock in the morning jogging with a dog, the dog is pulling the person. Like one of my friends said, look at that dog. And I said, which one? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugates you to an animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugated everything in heavens and earth for us to serve us. And guess what? That you are serving the dog now. You're serving an animal. Some of you go, well, what do you got against animals, brother? Is it wrong to feed the dog? Look where they jumped. Wrong to feed a dog. As if I passed by a person feeding a dog and I said, it is haram or he is wrong. No. We're talking about you wake up at 5, you leave your bed, you run, you dress up just to take a dog for a walk. Yet, if someone comes and tells that person, remember Allah or go pray or something like that, you know, I heard a story. I don't know, Islamically you be the judge. Not I heard, I read it, and it's a real one. A person was enjoying himself in the lake, ocean rather, with his dog, and he does that, kind of, yani, he's used to doing it. He does it all the time, like every day. He noticed a shark, came from nowhere. He got out of the water, he looked, and the shark grabbed his dog. Guess what he did? He put his fists together, dived back in that sea, and punched the shark until he let go of the dog. And he got the dog and treated him. Islamically, can you do that? It's a courageous move. No doubt. To dive in the water, fight with a shark. I mean, this guy is hungry. To eat a dog, you gotta be hungry. And punch him and fight under the water? What, is it prohibited or accepted in Islam?
I wouldn't even...
You wouldn't even try it, I know, but... Anyone know? I mean, we're not saying you do it. Is it haram or halal?
Depends on his intention.
Depends on his intention. His intention to save the dog. Now? It's haram. There's no doubt it's haram. Why? Because you are endangering your life for something so inferior to you. You're putting your life at risk. This is like someone, I'll shoot your dog. And I said, well, you know, if it's a cat, I said, shoot the dog. My life or the dog, brother, you're feeling bad, right? I'm sorry, but you know, compassion for the animals is above what you think, but we never raise the animals Islamically above the human life. We don't forward the life of an animal and endanger the life of a human being. If we have food enough for a human being and a dog, we're not going to feed it to the dog and make the human being die. But this is, subhanAllah, But يعني, I wanted to share with you how some people, I mean, the reason I mentioned that story just to show you how he endangered his life. Death could be imminent. And he did it for enough. If you tell him, do that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would not do it. He would not think about it. Why? Because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not something else that he sees and he loves. Tayyib. The third thing of the heart, the third point that we are talking about, the qualities of the serene self, is al-qana'ah, contentment. The opposite of that is our topic. Tama. Greed. So if you don't have contentment of the heart, you have a disease called greed. This is what we will be talking about. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us, and he told us all the things, how to be content and how to be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, and how to be free of all those diseases, especially the disease of at-ta'am, greed. ذُنُّون يَقُولُ مَنْ وَثِقَ بِالْمَقَادِيرُ لَمْ يَغْتَمْ. Any person who was trusted with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the majors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made and given, he will not be stressed. وَمَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهُ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And anyone who knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be happy with him, and he will be content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees. قَنَعَ. Let's define qana'ah. When you are content, and when we talk about greed, that means you're not content. So let's find out what is contentment. Define it. Yaqul, there's many definitions for it. رِضَ الْعَبْدُ بِمَا قَسَمَهُ رَبُّهُ لَهُ مِنَ الْمَالِ غَنِيٌّ أَوْ فَقِيرٌ غِنَى أَوْ فَقْرٌ وَالْأَوْلَادُ سَوَاءً كَانُوا ذُكُورًا أَوْ إِنَاثًا مَثَلًا وَالزَّوْجَةُ سَوَاءً كَانَتْ جَمِيلَةً أَوْ غَيْرَ جَمِيلَةٍ. When we talk about contentment, it is the contentment or the happiness of the person, the acceptance of the person with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for him, from wealth, whether he made him rich or not rich, he's happy. Children, whether he had all boys or all girls or a mixture of those, he's happy. With the wife, whether she is pretty or she is not pretty, he's happy. And when you talk about pretty and not pretty, sometimes a pretty wife can be a disaster, right? Sometimes a pretty wife can be what? What's the opposite of disaster, brothers?
Ni'mah,
ahsan, a blessing. We'll tell you how. طيب, an example for that, if your wife is pretty, chances are she'll be arrogant, she will show off, she would like to show off outside, she will remind you of her beauty all the time. I think I've given you a joke before about that thing. But if you remind me, when the man was so grateful about the beauty of his wife, and he said, I'm going to go to Jannah because I'm so thankful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your beauty. She told him, I'm going to go to Jannah too. He said, why? She said, because I'm so patient with your ugliness. Women can get back at you sometimes when they are pretty. Alhamdulillah, they're not pretty, so. Listen to this. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam solved the problem for us. Look what he said. ثلاثة يحبهم الله عز وجل ويضحك إليهم ويستبشر لهم. Three people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them, he smiles at them, and he gives glad tidings for them. One from those three, والذي لهم رأة حسناء وفراشا ليليا حسن فيقوم من الليل فيقول صلى الله سبحانه وتعالى يبر شهوته ولو شاء رقد. Look how he sees it, and now how we should perceive it. يقول, a man who has a beautiful wife, not only a beautiful wife, but a cozy bed too. Orthopedic.
Sleep number.
Beautiful wife, cozy bed. This man, this husband, wakes up at night. He leaves his beautiful wife and his cozy bed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying about him, يقول سبحانه وتعالى يضر شهوته. He's leaving his whims and desires. He's leaving his lust away. يذكرني ويناجيني, mentioning me and connecting with me. ولو شاء رقد. And if he went, if he wanted, had he wanted, he could have stayed enjoying his wife and the cozy bed. But he didn't. That's why, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع. تتجافى, هذا المرجع, هذا مكان النوم. تتجافى, تتباعد. جنوبهم عن المضاجع. طب تتجافى, شوف, مش انهم يقومون, يعني فيها صعوبة, لكن مع هذه الصعوبة يترك هذا الفراش الدافئ في هذا الصباح مثلا أو في الليل. يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا. They are alienating themselves, estranging themselves from their bed, even though it is very comfortable, even though it is warm, it is cozy, it is attractive, you name it, yet they pull themselves away from that bed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the reward? فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة عين. No soul shall know or does know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared them from pleasures that would please them the day of judgment. Why? Because of what we said. So you accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you from everything. And a beautiful wife can do what also? You stick with her. You don't want to go to the masjid. You don't want to go to jama'ah. You don't want to do this and that. You'd rather be with her. So this is a disaster. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum fahdharuhum. Or people who you believe, some of your wives are enemies to you. Meaning, they take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and anything that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an enemy to you. Now if a sister hears me now, she might say, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called us enemies? What did we have to do with it? If He created us beautiful, and this man cannot leave us, why are we treated as enemies? Valid question, right? So what's the answer? MashaAllah, this guy knows. Yes, your husband doesn't want to go, and you loved him, and you told him, okay, you should tell him, go. Go where men go. Women stay at home. You're not a woman. Be a man. Don't worship your desires. If she didn't say that, then she helped him in his weak self, instead of encouraging him, and that's why she deserves that title, enemy. See, brothers, if you really think about the hadith and the Quran and all that, with an open heart, with some knowledge, there is an answer for everything. All of those are valid questions, and all of those are issues or doubts that the enemies of Islam raise against women. A person can come and recite that ayah for you and tell you, look what Allah subhanahu, what your Lord is saying about women. Right? This is like, remember the story I was telling you yesterday. One person, he asked the Shaykh, a non-Muslim, he has a friend in college. He said, he refuses to sit with us, a good Muslim friend. The non-Muslim saying, he refuses to sit with us, he refuses to drink alcohol with us, he doesn't go with us dancing or with women or any of that, and he's asking the Shaykh, and he's saying literally, why does Islam teach people to be miserable in this life? Listen how he made it. Islam tells us to be miserable in life. This is like you go to the doctor. Okay, let's measure your pressure. Do you smoke? No. Do you drink? No. Do you drugs? No. Why are you here? It sounds like one brother, one man said, what a boring life. You don't do any of the things that Islam teaches us to be miserable. Look how the Shaykh answered him. He told him, if someone dies in your family and a woman came to pay condolences to you with her bikini suit, would you accept that? He said, no. Why not? Because the customs and all that is not suitable for that. Bikini suit is for the beach, not for condolences. And said, okay. He said, if you're sitting, eating, and someone went, burped, one of those things that makes you want to throw up, and he probably throws up too. Would you accept that? He said, no. He said, why? He said, because this is not from the manners and the etiquettes of eating. He said, okay. If you see someone driving the wrong lane, opposite direction, or parked in a place where it says no parking, would people accept that? He said, no. He said, why that? He said, because there is a law. He said, subhanAllah, customs, manners, the law, acceptable to you and respected, but the Creator who created you and the law and the manners and everything, if He tells you something, you look at it as He wants to make you miserable. What is enjoyment to you? Making yourself happy or making everybody? Look how people, this is what puzzles you sometimes, as you see how we serve everything, but when it comes to serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't. Or we have to put conditions, or this is hard, or this is not the teachings of Islam. At the same time, not just serving something, if someone tells you to do something, you would do it. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes and tells you to do something, your boss tells you to do something, you fulfill it. Your wife asks you something, you do it. Or the husband asks the wife, she will do it. Or the father to his son. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you, you say, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't? And who are we? There is a hadith about the skies and the size of the skies. And the size of the skies in relation to earth. And in relation to the chair. And in relation to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You end up, who are you? Who are you to even question or open your mouth about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His teaching? It drives you nuts sometimes to think about that. Brothers, the talk will drag. Let me just seal everything for you, inshallah, with the second definition. Al-qana'a bil-mawjood وترك الحزن على المفقود. Be content. The definition of contentment is be content with what you have and don't despair on what you have missed. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Huraira, Ya Abu Huraira, kun wari'an takun a'bad an-nas wa kun qani'an takun ashkar an-nas. O Abu Huraira, refrain from indulging yourself in too much permissible things. You will be the person who worship Allah the most, and be content, you will be the one who is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. And I leave you with this hadith, and we will explain it next time. The definition, and the best definition, is by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. من أصبح منكم معافا في جسده آمنا في سربه عنده قوت يومه فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا. This is contentment. Anyone who wakes up in the morning healthy in his body, safe in his house, he has a food of one day, it's like he owns this world. We'll explain that inshallah. We'll continue talking about contentment, which is the opposite of greed. Greed is the first disease of the heart. Our topic inshallah next time. So when we talk about greed and when we talk about contentment, we have talking about the qualities of the serene soul, the definition of contentment. We will find out inshallah next time why we do not get content, and is there anything that we should not be content on? Kinds of the diseases of the heart, and greed is the first one. If you did not get a chance to be here or to listen to this lecture, just go to imamhasankhalil.wordpress.com, and alhamdulillah, we are broadcasting this on sunnahfollowers.net, so you can watch that at home. If you did not get a chance to come here, or sometimes you won't be able to, you can watch that online inshallah. sunnahfollowers.com. Jazakumullah khairan. We'll take a couple of questions inshallah if you have some.